after I retire, so I keep it.
I would still have to turn my title in, but I can keep the car.
That's correct.
And then when I finally get around to retiring and restoring that Studebaker, I can obtain a new title.
That's correct.
That's the intent. It's not to force me to take that Studebaker, which I love with all my heart, and take it to the junkyard. Okay.
Well, using the scenario that you just presented, that sounds like then you could have an untitled car for a number of years in your scenario. And I guess I'm wondering whether we really want that. If it just take this, I got another scenario I want to pose in a minute, but if you just take that one where,
okay, it's this right here.
You settle, see, what, let me just say, totaled is to some extent a negotiated term. I mean, we're sitting here talking, thinking totaled means, you know, flat out, you know, nothing left of the car and it's going to reappear somewhere, you know, but that isn't true. Totaled can mean that it, you may not even hardly be able to see the damage, but somebody, two parties agreed to total, the insurance company and someone else, and I would submit to you that there are cars around that may be officially totaled that aren't that bad. So I think our image may be a little extreme. But the fact is, if you use this scenario, that he chose to keep it, and what I heard the response was that there would be no title until such time it was fully restored, whatever that means, which is an interesting question itself, what does that mean? But then, what I heard the chairman say is, then I could apply back for my title. So there's a possibility of having an untitled car for years and years and years sitting somewhere, which seems like it poses all kinds of problems, because then, what happens if the police come out and says, whose car is that? And he says, it's mine. Show me the title. Well, I don't have a title. I mean, I guess the question is,
I have a real life example. Okay. I do have one of these little vehicles. It's not a Studebaker. It's a 1960 Bug with a sunroof, 36 horsepower, you know. And the engine's in the front yard, and the fenders are piled in the backyard, and the body's hanging from the rafters at a local stripper shop. And in about 10 years, I'll get around putting it back together. And I never turn the title in. I've still got the title sitting in the box. So under this, I should turn the title in so it can't be used to legalize an assembled vehicle, some other vehicle, or a stolen vehicle, I guess. And then I would, when I reassemble it, at what point when I reassemble that Bug, should I come down and get a new title?
Mr. Chairman, in answer to the last question, it is when it is a vehicle again, when it's put back together again, you should apply for title. What you're describing in terms of the untitled vehicle is true under existing law. Current law has a definition of a destroyed vehicle, and that same process goes on today. What this bill does is change the criteria for what vehicles do or don't fall in to that classification.
Okay.
Okay, let's go through the procedures in this thing just a little bit to get an understanding of the bill, because you need to know up front, I don't like the bill. That's my bias. And the reason, one of the major reasons I don't like the bill is the definition in Section 2 says that a total vehicle means, and then it's when it's declared a total loss by an insurer. Voila. That sets up a series of problems in terms of various economies throughout a region. And my experience is the state of California, because of the cost of repairing a vehicle in an auto body shop, is significantly higher than it is in the state of Oregon, that insurance companies will total a vehicle at a much earlier stage. Don't shake your head, no, it's true, I've seen them. I happen to rebuild these things from time to time. They do that, and there are a lot of auto wreckers or whatever will go to some of these states and actually purchase the cars and bring them into Oregon and sell them to hobbyists and or auto body professionals, probably some members of the Auto Body Craftsmen's Association, who then subsequently rebuild the cars. And my concern is it's the insurer who's making that determination as to whether or not the vehicle is or is not rebuildable. And that creates a problem from my perspective, because the state of California currently has a flagging system. Second of that, in a subsequent concern, one is insurance company. Second is that the title that Senator Hill would get back on his car if it was a wreck would not be a title, as we're familiar with under the Oregon system now. It would be an assembled vehicle title. It would not have a particular manufacturer's name on it. It would be titled as an assembled vehicle, which creates a significant number of problems when, particularly if you're dealing with a car that has a value as an antique or a collectible or potentially a collectible vehicle, because you now hold a piece of paper that says this thing is a total or it's a remanufactured or it's, in the words of the bill, it's an assembled vehicle. Not a 1963 Chevrolet Impala, but an assembled vehicle, and it diminishes the value of the car. So, at least on the surface, my concern is that the bill's sponsored by the Oregon Auto Body Craftsmen's Association. I need to know what the interest is, and there appears to be a vested interest in that they would be the recipients of most of the work, I would assume. Second is the discretion that the insurers would have in making a determination as to whether or not a car is serviceable or repairable or remanufactured. And the bill has absolutely nothing to do with the illegal chop shops that are out there that are chopping cars apart and reassembling them for the purpose of cycling through stolen cars. This has to do with the industry, the auto body industry. It has to do with the remanufacturers and the hobbyists who do this kind of work, and insurance companies. Maybe I need to get a little bit of background on the reason why, what is the problem we're trying to address. And
okay, Mr. Chairman, Al Elkins, Auto Body Craftsman. Representative Mendez, to answer your question about the purpose, the Oregon Auto Body Craftsman Association has found over the last couple of years that more and more consumers have been concerned about the vehicles that they are buying. More and more of these types of cars that have been rebuilt and poorly rebuilt have come into their shops, and they are put into the position of trying to make these cars whole again or drivable again and safe again. And they have been very frustrated with that, because these vehicles shouldn't have been put on the road in the first place. And most of the times, the cost to repair the vehicles exceeds the value of the vehicle itself. And that is what has generally motivated them to present this bill this session and work on it during the interim with the Department of Motor Vehicles, the Attorney General's office, and the insurance industry as well. We have also found in our investigation, the Attorney General's office has been very interested in this subject and has helped us immensely with this, because they see it as a very big consumer protection problem as well.
So this is consumer protection legislation?
That's been the emphasis that the Oregon Safe Vehicles people have put on this bill. As to the insurance question, I'd have to turn that over to John.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Menace, we're along for the ride here, and we're brought into the bill to try to affect the bill as it affects insurers. State Farm Insurance Company is currently sending titles in on all totaled vehicles as a company policy to try to avoid any potential of a safety problem. And so our interest in this legislation is to make sure that it works administratively, and that we can operate as on a day-to-day basis without it being burdensome. It is true that there will be a loss of value accompanying this kind of policy. As I said, we've already decided to do this without legislation in terms of surrendering the titles. And that was our interest in the bills, to make sure. And we've worked many, many hours on this definition up here, because there have been several versions of the language that that we couldn't live with for some of the very reasons that were that have been talked about here, the minor damage when a vehicle really isn't damaged structurally.
John, let me ask you this question. State Farm has the policy of turning in the titles on total vehicles. If you have an insured who's involved in an accident whose vehicle is adjudicated to your process total, and you pay off the claimant, what do you do with the car? What do you do with the physical car that you sent the title in on?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Minnis, I believe they go to a salvage system of being sold through a salvage yard.
A salvage pool, mm-hmm. is what it's called
yes.
in the industry.
Yes.
And what does the salvage pool do with those things?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Minnis, I don't know in all cases. I believe they're resold for various and sundry reasons, some for parts and that sort
a lot
of
to dealers who rebuild these cars.
I believe so. In our earlier meetings in the interim, I think there were some of those people present who were watching this legislation as well. So I believe some of them are purchased for that rebuilding and that sort
of thing. So you don't take them as a matter of company policy and take the car and squish it into a block of massive, you know, metal and sell it off for salvage. You sell it to the salvage group who subsequently sells it to a dealer or to an auto body craftsman who subsequently rebuilds it or to an auto wrecking yard who might use the car for various parts.
Mr. Chairman, as far as I know, that's the way it works. I've not gone behind the scenes to watch that work, but yes, we are not in that in the business of doing that, and we do work with these pools and get rid of it, and I believe for the same for the very reasons the resale that you just mentioned.
Okay, I guess I'm trying to get a handle on the effect of the legislation, because I don't see that the bill changes that. It doesn't say all insurance companies will now crush all total vehicles into blocks and sell them off for salvage, and no one will be able to rebuild them. In essence, what you're doing is you're branding, we're branding all the titles as either a total vehicle or eventually an assembled vehicle, and we're also creating a series of crimes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Minnis, in fact, the existing law had some language in it that involved including even a RICO prosecution against insurers, and that particular portion is out, but it still carries a violation of the insurance code.
Let me, if I'm following up, hang on just a second, Al. Section 4 talks about if a person other than an insurance company, other than the insurer, does XYZ in the bill, then it's a Class A misdemeanor. And then Section 5 says a person commits the offense of failure to notify a subsequent purchaser if you do XYZ. That's a person, not an insurer. Again, it's a Class C misdemeanor.
Mr. Chairman.
And then Section 4 talks about insurers, and it's a violation of the insurance code.
ORS 819.020 under existing statute creates for not following the procedures of a destroyed vehicle carry those same penalties.
Would you say that again, please?
It's ORS 819.020. Failure to follow procedures for destroyed vehicles. And when a vehicle is considered destroyed.
Okay, now that addresses, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't that address the person who hasn't notified DMV that they're wrecking a vehicle?
No.
Or is that a different statute?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Minnis, 819.020 contains the current definition of a destroyed vehicle and goes through the very similar provisions that are currently in Section 4 of the bill. It talks about anybody who comes into possession of a destroyed vehicle having to surrender the title, whether that be an insurance company or other party. What House Bill 2297 basically did was repealed 020 and replaced it with Section 4 with new language about the word totaled rather than destroyed.
Why did we do that as opposed to amend existing statutes? is that to incorporate it into a new act? Is that necessary to make it part of a new act?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Minnis, I'm not really sure, other than there would be have been substantial bracketing and deleting, and it may have been cleaner to just have a new section rather than to...
I think it was just a drafting decision.
Okay. Did you have something else?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Minnis, I want to go back to the salvage yard for a minute, if I could. My understanding of the procedure is similar to Mr. Powell's, in that I understand the auction procedure, and I've been to an auction or two to watch them do that. What I understand is occurring now is cars are purchased based on if they have a clear title. That's the main motivation to do that. So that when a car, no matter what condition the car is in, if that car can be purchased and that title is clear, then they have a clear title to do whatever they want to do with that vehicle.
These are licensed automobile dealers.
Yes, sir.
They have to be licensed to get into the salvage pool auction.
Yes, sir.
Or a licensed, well, I don't know about licensed, maybe the people with the auto body industry can tell me. Auto body people can also enter the auction, so I understand it. Is that right or not?
I think the key, for what I've been told, is that the license is the key. Now, okay. You can take that license and if you have a license, I can go buy for you using your license.
But you can't take anybody else in there, can you?
From what I understand,
the lady's shaking her head, yes, you can.
Yeah, I understand that's being done. I don't know if there's a provision in any statute that says you can. But. And that's why, what I understand is the main motivation for purchasing some of those vehicles today is because you're buying a wreck, but you're buying a non-wreck title. You're buying a clear title. And that motivates you to rebuild that vehicle and sell it with a clear title. And that's why we've emphasized here the title to protect the consumer so he or she can see that when they purchase the vehicle, at one time it was a total vehicle.
Okay, again, there's nothing in the bill that guarantees that someone who buys that vehicle for that purpose and repairs the vehicle that ensures the quality of the work.
No.
Nowhere in the bill. So what we're doing is branding the title, so in essence, If you're guessing correctly, fewer people or fewer dealers are going to buy these cars out of salvage pools.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Minnis, I've talked to salvage dealers about that, and we don't know if that will diminish or not, for whatever reasons. In states that have title branding types of legislation, that did not diminish immediately, that type of... People going to
okay,
the
so people are still buying the car, so what are we proving? What are we doing?
We are now bringing to the forefront the fact that the consumer can identify those and ask questions about them. Prior to that, we had witnesses before the Business and Consumer Affairs Committee who drove the cars away from buying them and the engines fell out or the transmissions fell out. Now they can ask the question, why is this total? What was wrong with it? Before they were asking, has this car been in a wreck? And the answer across the board was, yes, a minor fender bender. Well, when the engine or transmission falls out, or plywood is in the ceiling or in the floorboard instead of metal, it's more than a minor fender bender, obviously.
Okay. Are there existing liabilities for selling something deceptively?
There are, and I could have our attorney come up and talk to you about that. He could spend the rest of the afternoon talking to you about that, I would assume. I'm not trying to be facetious. But
no, the reason I asked the question is because I know the answer.
There
are criminal statutes for fraudulent.
But what, Mr. Chairman, the Representative Minnis, what we have found is that usually that comes to light long after the car has been purchased.
So it's not, there aren't a horde of these cases where the engine falls out while they're driving.
We're finding that more and more are occurring. I've had two calls in the last 2 weeks about this bill from people, one who bought a $35,000 Porsche, 1978 Porsche, and he took it in to have it insured, and the insurance people, when they inspected the vehicle, found that it was a front end and a back end of two separate cars put together. Same with a 1978 or 79 Honda Accord. Mm. Two separate vehicles put together and then welded.
They didn't know whether it was a 78 or 79, the front was one and the back was the other?
No.
Which was it, Alan?
Under this language, that would be a reconstructed vehicle.
An assembled vehicle.
Assembled vehicle.
I'd have to ask Joanne.
Mr. Chairman, the current statute, which would continue under this bill, gives really three definitions or three ways of identifying those vehicles. If the vehicle doesn't look like any particular year, model, or make of vehicle, it is called assembled. The assembled is actually listed as the make, and the year model is the year in which the reconstruction was completed. If the vehicle looks like a particular year, model, or make of vehicle, it will be called that, but it will still carry the word reconstructed to identify it. Then there is a third category where vehicles are rebuilt as replicas of a previous particular year, model, or make, and that takes into account some of these kitted vehicles where they take maybe a wrecked Volkswagen and put a kit of a classic car or something on it, and those are just identified as replicas with the year and make of what they're a replica of.
Are all these types currently identified, separately identified? Are these known definitions?
Mr. Chairman, yes, they are found in statute in the vehicle code.
Okay, I have a question. Have you gentlemen finished your questions?
Go ahead. I haven't, but go ahead.
I have a question for Joan, I guess, for motor vehicles. And that is the problems with titling vehicles and how this bill will help address those problems of titling vehicles and making sure titles are legal and prevent titling stolen vehicles. First of all, does the division have a position on this bill?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Joan Plank with the Motor Vehicles Division. No, the division hasn't taken an official position on this bill, but we do think that it will help protect consumers by branding more titles. As Mr. Elkins said, if the brand is on the title, warning that, and on the registration, which it is now and will continue to be, the consumer has a chance to know that they need to take a look at that car further. We know that all titles aren't branded now. We don't know how many that is, but we know that it goes on, and part of that is because the definition is a little bit hard to follow, allowing the insurance companies to make that determination. Will help in those situations where the vehicle is insured. Representative Minnis made the statement that the insurance companies won't crush the cars. That's correct. The cars can still be rebuilt, but with that brand on there, if you buy one, you've got a shot at it. As far as it helping with stolen vehicles, I'm not sure that this bill is really intended to do that or to encourage people to transfer titles. Its main purpose is to give the consumer a chance.
Isn't one of the purposes to prevent illegal transfer of title or floating titles or whatever you call them? Titles from a total vehicle from being doctored for a rebuilt or stolen vehicle?
Mr. Chairman, the one thing that does do, once the title is turned into the division, the vehicle is identified as a damaged vehicle. And there are situations where the vehicle identification number plates and titles from substantially damaged vehicles are used and put on a stolen vehicle. And in that sense, this may help, because the more vehicles that are identified, the closer they're going to be looked at when they come back into the system, and it may help prevent some of those salvage switch operations.
Rep. Lori, you have questions?
No, I don't know. I guess I'm... No, I'll pass for now. I'm a little confused. So.
Well, we got caucus in 5 minutes.
This bill's come through the House Committee, right?
Correct.
And it was amended in the House Committee. What was the vote on it out of the House Committee?
Mr. Chairman, I believe best as I can recall, it was unanimous, and they recommended do pass. That's the best I can recall, I have to check.
See, whose committee was that, Scott's?
Yes, sir. Representative Scott's committee.
Well, I don't feel I have a handle on it yet, myself. And maybe we just need some more information, but I find it all kind of confusing. One of the most effective things we might do is talk with Scott and some other people who spent some time looking at such a committee. Yeah. Someone rising to the challenge.
Are you the attorney?
Another county heard from.
Where's assembled vehicle defined, anybody know?
A what?
Assembled in O.S.
Mr. Chair, I'm Ray Gribling, I represent the Oregon Automobile Dealers Association. And I think what we're really talking about here is an issue of safety. This is where the dealers come from, where they're not in the habit of going out buying total vehicles and putting them into our shop, because many of our dealerships do not have frame shops and so forth, so you have to farm that out. And in many of those cases, the cost of repairing the total vehicle is more than the cost or the value of the salvage or the vehicle. But you're talking about Section 4 here, an individual failing to turn in his title. You're not going to stop those operators who are going to pick up a mashed vehicle and rebuild the thing and put it back out on the market. If they choose not to turn in the title with the thing, it's very difficult to catch them. What we're concerned with, as far as the auto dealers are concerned, is that somebody drives into the store on a Sunday and they've got a car they want to trade in, and it's a honey, it's all painted up and it's pretty and it's detailed nicely, and they want to trade it in on another model or a new car. And the dealer has some protection after he has asked for that title, discovers that the title has been branded, and so he has a car that may potentially be a hazard out on the highway. You can spot these things driving down the highway when it looks like dog running down there. And there are other things that they can do to the vehicle to mask a lot of problems, but had you been witness to testimony from the auto body craftsman in the House committee, an example that comes to my mind that was very, very vivid, a little crunch in the rear end doesn't look like it's much. But the man that made the demonstration stood on a full pop can. I mean, it was not a full pop can, but a whole pop can. And it carried his weight. He put one little tiny dent in the side of that, stood on it, and crushed it to the floor. Now, that's one of the problems that you have. We had testimony in that committee also of some gentleman whose daughter went out and bought herself an automobile for $5,000. They found out that the car had been totaled. He can't allow her to drive that car. They've got a $5,000 car sitting in the driveway that, because for safety's sake, she can't drive that car. So I think what we're really looking at is something to protect the consumer from buying a vehicle that has been totaled and rebuilt. No matter how well they do their job, it doesn't always work.
Well, we know it's loaded with non-standard aftermarket parts.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Sheet metal.
Okay. How about if we carry this over till tomorrow afternoon at 3:30? We're going to meet at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, that's better.
And give staff a little bit of a break so she won't lose her log. And I've got to go confirm somebody in water policy for half an hour, and then I'll be down here. So 3:30 tomorrow afternoon, we'll take this up in a work session. And hopefully you folks can grab Representative Schoon on the floor and ask some questions. And maybe you can provide some more information to the members.
Mr. Chair, let me at least state for the record one misstatement that I made earlier. The assembled vehicle is defined in the statute, and I think I said earlier that if it was a total vehicle, you'd have to have another number attached to it. The statute doesn't say that. So, just to make the record clear, you probably could continue to use your original VIN number as opposed to getting an assembled vehicle number assigned to the vehicle, as long as it looked like and or was the year of make and model of the car you're describing in the title. It's not a mixture of two different years.
Mr. Chairman, you can use your actual VIN number as long as the frame or chassis, which is what the title really goes with.
Chassis number matches the...
It matches, yes.
Number.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Okay, now we'll close that. And Leonard has a draft, a budget note for where we previously looked at the voter registration for motor voters. Let me just read it so members are aware of what language we're looking at. A new section, planning and implementing of Oregon laws, chapter 979, the DMV shall take, having steps reasonably necessary, reads a little better, to allow transfer of voter registration information to the county clerks by electronic transfer or other electronic or magnetic medium. I insert or magnetic medium. And section 4, the DMV shall report to the 93 legislature on the implementation of Oregon law, chapter 979. And that should be Oregon Laws, Chapter 979, 1989. Or, whatever the proper form and style. 1989 Oregon Laws, Chapter 997. Report the number of voters registered, actual implementation costs, explanation of registration procedure, and steps allowed to take to allow electronic transfer of data. Sound good?
What else is in here? I think this transfer is redundant. This is allowed transfer, so you don't have to say electronic transfer.
Electronic or magnetic medium.
Okay,
that's good. Good suggestion. By electronic or magnetic medium.